Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, glad to have you here.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
In the end, what they decided was that Cully was not going to return for a second season. Nick Caserio informed him in person. It was philosophical differences.
Sometimes you have to make decisions that are difficult.
Did you expect anything different? Because the last 4 days, the Texans could have come out and said, hey, David Culley's our guy for next year. He's definitely coming back.
We hired David because we thought he was the best fit for the Houston Texans organization at the time, and I still feel that way. This is my decision. This was something I felt that we needed to do that was in the best interest of the organization. So that's why I would sit here today.
Holy cow.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Yes, as we are now day two of David Culley being fired, and today we heard from Nick Caserio, the general manager. He spoke to the media, and he spoke for about 30 minutes. You could have heard that right here on In the Loop around 11 o'clock. We will let you hear some of the real pertinent things he said. Real quick, programming note, Clint and Tyler, y'all asses better be listening too, because y'all need to be listening. It's been confirmed. That general manager who's been speaking today, Nick Caserio, will be on with Payne and Pendergast on Monday at 7:30 a.m. An exclusive interview with general manager Nick Caserio right here on Sports Radio 610. Monday, Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast will indeed hit him with the things that you need to know.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, check that. MLK Day, probably not going to do that on that day, right?
Tuesday.
Well, look, I mean, here's the deal. Even better that it's Tuesday, right? It's Tuesday. At Sean T. Pendergast on social media. I want everybody out there, whatever questions you think Sean needs to ask Nick Caserio on Tuesday morning, I want y'all to just flood his inbox, and I want you to flood his Twitter feed over the next few days of what you think that that Sean Pendergast needs to ask Nick Caserio. Sean T. Pendergast.
Well, Sean, you done stepped off in it.
He's in it. He's in it with old Nick.
And why not take these next 3 days to gas up Seth Payne as well?
Sure,
and
why not?
Really
what
get,
the hell?
Really get Seth fired up right as he enters that interview on 7:30 on Tuesday.
That's at Seth C. Payne.
Yeah,
so
right.
Sean T. Pendergast and Seth C. Payne. I wonder if there's anything to that. I wonder why these guys got their
don't
middle
you wish
initial.
It was, don't you wish his middle was the T and it could be T. Payne?
So
that would have been.
Nice.
That would have been fantastic.
Nice.
All right, Nick Caserio spoke today, and I think the number one thing that people wanted to hear from his mouth, he's the one who did it and fired David Culley, wanted to hear the reasons he felt he had to make this move. This was Nick Caserio explaining.
We need to be better, and we need to find ways to get better. I'd say when you look around this league, it's the teams that can ID problems, assess, fix, ID them, and implement them. Those are the teams that have success. And I would say the businesses and entities that do those types of things are some of the better businesses, and they give themselves a chance.
All right, as we're learning to understand Caserio, Clint, and sometimes you gotta sniff through what he's trying to get across. What do you think people need to hear and understand he was saying out of that?
I think that right there in itself is why the Houston Texans and Nick Caserio in particular had to move on from David Culley. Is because when you're in a rebuild phase, year one of a rebuild, year two, year three of a rebuild, you need people in the building that can assess, can identify, can fix, can implement solutions. You got to identify problems. You got to assess problems. You got to implement solutions. You got to fix problems. And you got to do that with a sense of urgency. And I think anybody that followed this team closely, I think anybody that listened to David Culley speak and watched David Culley over the last, I don't know, 12 plus months, however long it was, I think if you watch David Culley closely, he is not capable of doing those things with a sense of urgency. At the head coach position, you've got to have a guy that's behind the walls, in the locker room, in meeting rooms with these players, and can then take what the problems are, that he can assess those situations, get to the general manager and the decision makers and say, these are the things that need to be fixed. These are the things that need to be addressed. Here's how I advise you. You roll out a plan to fix these things. And I'm the one that's in the locker room with them. You're not in there every single day. It is a valuable resource that a head coach has to provide during a rebuild. And David Culley, quite frankly, I don't think it's a debate. I mean, we heard the guy at the end of the season, the very last game, week 18, say, I didn't know what to say at halftime. You know, I think it's very clear that there's a disconnect with David Culley when it comes to being able to do those things. And Nick Caserio needs those kinds of guys in the building. He needs these kind of guys in the building that can do these things at the very least with a sense of urgency. For example, Lovie Smith. Perfect example. Lovie Smith is a guy on the defensive side of the football that I have 100%. Now, I don't know if he's going to be here. There's a lot of change. I don't know what's going to happen.
Got a feeling he's probably not.
But I think I'm just comparing the two guys. Lovie Smith is a guy that I feel very confident in, is capable of assessing situations, identifying problems, fixing problems, implementing processes to fix problems, and communicating all of the above to the general manager. And I just think there's a lot of smoke, there's a lot of dust, there's a lot of spins on the David Culley firing, and I get it. I understand it. But at the end of the day, show, we're talking about a Texans rebuild. We're talking about an organization that needs to get right sooner rather than later. They got to have a guy in the head coach position that can do those things with a sense of urgency. And I don't believe that David Culley was capable of doing those things.
Yeah, I think that's the point of, as we're discussing and reacting to, why Nick Caserio felt that he had to make a move. And to everything you explained, the thought is just like, all right, so what were the expectations rolling in for the duty of the job? Like what were the expectations? Yep. We all wondered coming into it, was it to just to hold it down? Was it to, hey, let's start to improve these guys, young guys we draft, let's start to develop them? Like what was the job sell? And apparently if you listen to that, the job was, hey, we want a coach in here to help us, to try to let us know and ID things and see things and say, all right, hey, we're going to come here. This is where we need to get better at. These are the things. And if that was the case, you could seem that you would see pretty early that maybe that wouldn't be a Culley strength.
Yeah, correct.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, like, yeah. Again, now we can get way off in what the hell were they thinking hiring the guy if that was it. But the fact of what I find very difficult, show, to wrap my head around is like, I see a lot of people, and I communicate with a lot of people, and it's about, well, he did this, he won this many games, or the guys played hard, or the guys were competitive, and yada yada yada. And ultimately, it's not right now in the first year of a rebuild. It's more important that you have a guy that's in charge of the locker room and of the football team that can assess, fix, ID, and implement all of these things in a timely fashion with the general manager than it is to win ball games. When David Culley was hired, he wasn't hired to win ball games. The expectations for David Culley was not like to say that, well, David won four games, he did more with less, he did more than most guys, than Bill O'Brien and Romeo Crennel did last year with Deshaun. The expectations weren't for him to win four games or six games or eight games. Like the expectations were to do those things, those kinds of things. And if you're not capable of doing those things, the organization has to move on beyond it. So whether like I'm sitting here telling you that I believe it's very, very important, I would prioritize that over winning in year one of a rebuild, right? Nick Caserio is telling you in a roundabout way, you know, you gotta, like you said, you gotta sift through the ashes, if you will. But he's telling you in a roundabout way that David Culley was fired because of the inability, essentially, to do these things and make the necessary changes in a timely fashion that we need to make.
Yeah, and if that were the expectations for that, then yeah, that was never going to be his strength.
Well, I think you can look at the Tim Kelly firing as well. I think it's very, very similar.
Yeah, yeah, and Nick Caserio addressed that. Nick Caserio also addressed Tim Kelly and why he was why he had to make a move there.
It's about production, you know, and I mean offensively, you know. There's some areas, just quite frankly, that we need to improve and we need to get better. You know, I have a lot of respect for Tim. I think Tim's a really good coach. You know, I think in the end, we just felt that was, you know, one of the things that we needed to do, that we should do. And again, in terms of our next step moving forward in this organization.
You think it's a similar thing there too with the offense?
I think it's fair to connect the dots, don't you? I mean, like when you look at, yeah, he did some good things with the quarterbacks over the last 2 years. I think there's a handful of games where he called some good games, but ultimately, if you're talking about an offensive mind, again, a decision maker in the building as an offensive coordinator, being able to go, hey, here's what we're trying to do. Let's say take the run game, for instance. Here's what we're trying to do in the run game, and it's not working. Okay, what are you going to do? You have the ability to then adjust and fix that problem, or at least give us a plan to try to fix the problem. And I think Tim Kelly over 2 years, with the autonomy to be the offensive coordinator where Bill O'Brien wasn't standing over his shoulder. I do think he did some good things, but I think there is the inability to fix the just generally speaking, the run game. Like not do amazing things and be Kyle Shanahan, but just fix the run game where it's complimentary.
Somehow they finished worse.
Yeah, right.
Than they did
right.
The previous year.
Right. And so it's not about what he did good and what it's about. If you look at Tim Kelly in a nutshell, you talk about his experience as a play caller, the years he has on the offensive side of the football, the years he has in the NFL, the limited knowledge of just one system being Bill O'Brien's system that he's ever been in. It's not hard to arrive at a place that, like, this guy from an offensive mind really lacks the ability to identify the problems, right? Not that you can't run the ball, but what are the problems? Why can you not run the ball, right? And then fix those problems. And you need a guy in that position that can do those things. And quite frankly, in the NFL, even a bridge the gap, a trial and error type of offensive coordinator and head coach, they got to, at the very least, be able to do those things. If not, then you might as well move on and find somebody that can.
And that's the wonder where some people, and I think I would say I fall into this boat of just the wonder of, well, that man, if that's the case, that's the setup. I had never played a down in the NFL like you have. I'm telling you right now, I've been here 2 years. I can tell you immediately that if that's the expectation for Tim Kelly and his experience, that was never going to happen. Like that, he was never going to fulfill that.
Agreed.
And the same thing with David Culley. They were never going to fulfill that. If you said with Tim Kelly, hey, man, this is a guy that can probably help work with quarterbacks and can probably implement the same thing that maybe you want your offense to be down the line, yeah. But if the expectations was to do the things you're talking about, if the expectation with David Culley was to keep this thing positive, make this a better work environment as it was before with Bill O'Brien, those are things he could do.
Yeah.
But those other things you're talking about, I mean, they were set up to fail because that just ain't their skill set. So
I think you go into it as a general manager, as a team, and you in hopes that they can do those things. Now I agree with you that how you sit across the table and think that they can or they can't, that's fine. But you go in hoping that they can. When there is proof in the pudding and tangible evidence that they can't do those things, right? Now regardless of the thoughts of the hire, right now it is tangibly obvious that they can't do those things. You got to move on, and I think that's what Nick Caserio, in a roundabout way, was trying to say today without cutting to the.
Yeah, I'm just saying today if when they hired me, the expectation from Sarah and Armin was for me to guess every one of these country songs that'll be played in here. That's just a losing battle.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
that's just a losing battle right off the bat. All right, Nick Caserio, I think explained something that many people want to hear, what he feels like the current state of the Houston Texans is. We'll see if you agree. That's Nick.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right. A lot from Nick Caserio. He spoke for about 30 minutes earlier today. And one thing that he jumped in about was where he feels like the Texans are right now, what kind of franchise they are. He took over a tough situation, where they are now. This is Nick Caserio on the state of the Texans.
You know, our situation right now is a lot better than it was, I would say, when we sat here last year, from a asset allocation, from a salary cap structure, from resources or players in the building, to externally opportunities that might be available for us in free agency, to, you know, right now we have the third overall pick. I think there's some pretty good things that are in place.
All right, that's Nick Caserio on the state. Feels a lot better than they were, he says, his words. When they took over, as we sit here and the Texans are now trying to find their next leader, their next head coach, from last year, Clint, do you agree with him? Do you feel like they're in a much better place than they were last year?
Yeah, I do. I believe, you know, what and that's all we can do is believe from the internal perspective. All we can do is at this point believe that the players that are in the building are better players, and I say that in a sense of, and I'm talking about the core group. Obviously we're not talking about the upper echelon talent, the top 10 talent, most talented guys on a roster. Obviously that's not the same, but throughout the roster, we're just gonna have to trust that there's better people in the building, there's better professionals in the building, top to bottom. And so I do believe that is very likely that they've been able to accomplish all of the things that Nick Caserio said. From a perspective of the people that are in the building, the front office, and I think the roster itself, it's obvious that the job is more attractive because you've got a first round pick, you've got a second round pick, and you've got a number three overall pick. So it's obvious from a draft perspective that it's in a better place. It's obvious from a cap perspective that it's in a much, much better place. I would say that the Watson situation is in a different place, not necessarily a better place, but it's in a different place. Like, I don't think that the next candidate for the Houston Texans is going to be expected to try to A1 first off the jump, from the jump, go talk Deshaun Watson back into playing for the Houston Texans or even be employed while others are trying to talk Deshaun Watson back into the building. So I think that has changed in a major way for the better as we look at it from a head coach's perspective. I would like to think that the staff that is hired show, which I can't let myself believe that Tim Kelly was retained because of his relationship with Deshaun Watson, but it's really the only thing that makes it make sense to me then and now. But you don't have that as part of your offensive staff. I do think that it's highly likely that the things that Nick Caserio mentioned in the building behind the doors that you and I aren't privy to every day, that situation and those individuals have improved drastically. I do believe that. And then if we look at the things from the outside looking in, the situation is very, very, very different in terms of what the head coach will be stepping into and really what will be at his disposal to either, for him to have success with or fail with.
You think it more like the draft stuff, is that?
The draft stuff is huge. I do think this too, Show. I think right now, and this is just my opinion, so take it for what it's worth, but I believe that you can look at the Deshaun Watson. I think people are more comfortable with looking at what's going on with Deshaun Watson and getting, especially after the Miami trying to make the trade at the trade deadline and just not getting it done and word leaking out that 18 of the 21 cases are all but settled. And there's information that's moved, that's kicked the can down the road on the Deshaun Watson situation to where I think a head coach looks at this. Now, it's still not ideal, but looks at the Houston situation and says, okay, I can see where they're going to get beyond the Deshaun Watson situation. And I can see where when they do, there's going to be added draft capital more so than what I already have. So you went from not having a one, not having a two, not knowing whether Deshaun Watson was ever going to play football again because it was going south in a hurry consistently when Coley was hired last year too. Okay, now I know I got a one and a two, and I feel a lot better. And I may be speaking out of turn, Show, but I know I personally feel a lot better about Deshaun Watson will play in the NFL again at some point, and there will be some kind of draft capital that the Texans get in return for Deshaun Watson. So yeah, I think on all fronts, other than one, and I know you're chomping at the bit to get there. I think on all fronts, other than one, this is a much more attractive job for candidates.
Yeah, 713-572-4610. You could text in your thoughts. You agreed? Do you feel as what Nick Caserio said, the GM, that we are in a better place than they were a year ago? You feel that way? I think in some spaces, of course, like I think time was going to be a deal. As long as you weren't going to trade a first or a second round pick again, you're going to be in a better place. So, yeah, this year you have the number 3 overall pick in the first round and the second round the rest of the way. I think you also have an extra pick from Bradley Roby in the third round. So, I mean, you've got, you've got better stuff in the draft. So you're better in that space. And the cap, for the most part, is in a better spot. Right, there's still some interesting dead cap hits that are on the books for the team, but overall you're in a better spot right now, depending on how the Deshaun thing shakes out.
Right,
because if you're sitting there and have to pay $40 million next year, then that's a different thing. I don't think they'll do that. So yeah, but I think the inner fan comes into me when I think about and I hear a better spot. Like I go to myself, do I feel better about the front office? If I'm a fan, no, I don't feel better at all. I feel worse about the front office because of the decision they made with the coach, how it's all going down, how it's all happened. Do I feel better about the product on the field? I think a bit. I still don't know what direction they're going.
Yeah.
I still don't know. You know, Davis Mills, at least with his run at the end of the year, makes me feel, if I'm a fan, a little bit better about the situation.
In that perspective too, Show, you got to be impressed with not impressed because hell we're talking about bottom feeders here, but you the guys like Kamu Crugier-Hill and guys across that defensive line and Brandon Cooks playing, like guys played hard consistently for 18 weeks where that wasn't the case when Deshaun was still here. And I'm only saying Deshaun because that's an indicator of the year I'm talking about, not because he had anything to do with guys not playing hard. But the overall team, you got to be more impressed with with their willingness to go out there and lay it on all on line when there really was nothing to lay it on the line for.
They played hard, but I think when it comes down to it, can I sense a difference maker on this team that is going to be here? And no, I think they've done a decent job of developing things, but there's not a difference maker on this team. So as a fan, I'm looking at it on the field. Do I feel like they're closer to getting back to Kansas City up 24-0? No. And then how confident do I feel about the guys that are in charge to make this thing better? And the confidence level for me, if I was a fan, is at an absolute zero. And so there are parts that in my mind as a fan, that time just kind of gave you. But the important things of, hey, the coach you're going to hire and how the roster's going to look. Because he alluded to today that there's going to be more turnover again. And so there's one way where yes, but then there's other ways of, and how confident if I'm a fan do I feel like this thing's going to get turned around? And I just wouldn't have very much at all.
I don't disagree with you. You're not one bit wrong. I think ultimately what really, really, really matters and what's gonna impact this rebuild more than anything is Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby being at the top. And I agree with you, Show. I don't think I'm as stern as you are on Nick Caserio not being the guy, but the jury's still out for me from a standpoint of I lean more towards the David Culley hire and botching that through the process and that big time miss, the Tim Kelly hire. I lean more on that than I do the 6 Super Bowl trophies that he won under Belichick. And so, for me, the jury's still out. I think any conversation that revolves around Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby and the confidence level of them getting this organization back to competitive and respectability, I think it's low, no question.
I forgot about that part too. And I'm wondering, fans believe his impact has lessened, and I don't think fans think that Jackson, as I'm seeing Tyler shake his head, I don't think fans think that Jack's impact has lessened. All right, I was listening to John Lopez, the OG, on In the Loop earlier, and he said he is 90% sure who he believes the next coach is going to be, and that is because it was a tip given by Nick Caserio earlier today. We'll let you hear that tip coming up next.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, big day here in Houston, and it's going to be big days here in Houston to figure out who the next coach is going to be now that the Texans have moved on from David Culley. And there may be a tip, Clint. Now, we'll see if you read through this one, if you fellas read through this one. There may be a tip here on who may be the next guy. And when you listen to what Nick Caserio does and explains about another coach in the league and his path, it may jump up to let you know who could be the next guy. This is Caserio.
I mean, nobody respects what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done more than myself. And when you look at Coach Tomlin, I mean, you look at the organization, right? Basically three coaches over the course of the Rooney ownership, right? They went from Chuck to Bill to Mike. And when Mike was hired, Mike was a coordinator for 1 year in Minnesota, right? He was 30-something years old, maybe 31 years old, whatever it was. And at the time, I don't think people knew, like, okay, Mike Tomlin is going to be not have a losing season in 15 years. I think the Rooneys saw Mike Tomlin and said, you know what? That's our guy. We believe in him, and we're going to give him the runway and the opportunity. And, I mean, look, Mike's as good of a coach, I would say as good of a leader as there is, and forget about sports, probably in, like, organizational behavior.
All right, when he went in there, talked about the age, talked about the youth, talked about the lack of experience that was perceived about Mike Tomlin when he took over. When you hear the two candidates that have been connected as the leading candidates for this job, Brian Flores, the former coach in the Miami Dolphins, and then the second-year linebacker coach who's 35 years old in New England in Gerard Mayo. Boy, that sounded a whole lot like he was describing potentially a Jerod Mayo, Clint.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt it sounded like he was laying the groundwork for a Jerod Mayo, for a young, inexperienced coach that the organization just believes in. He talks about giving him the runway and the opportunity to have success. It sure sounds like if you take that right there in a vacuum, it damn sure sounds like they're laying the grounds for, in the future, Jerod Mayo, a young, inexperienced guy that's been in the league for 2 years since 2019, 3 years since 2019 as a position coach, to introduce him as the Texans head coach. No question about it. It sure seems like there's some groundwork being laid there. Look, Mike Tomlin is, I think we both agree with this. Mike Tomlin is one of my favorite coaches in the game today. But I don't know that when he got hired that I would have been through the roof about Mike Tomlin being hired at the moment. It's easy to sit here today in hindsight after, hell, we did a topic on it last week of Tomlin wins a ball game, gets into the playoffs, and cements the fact that he's never had a losing season in 15 years. I mean, that is big time, big time. So it's easy to look back hindsight and go, yeah, boy, that was a hell of a hire. And obviously Mike Tomlin's a hell of a football coach. But if we really look at the two, they're nothing alike. I mean, whether we're talking about Tomlin and Mayo, or we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Houston Texans.
That's the mistake that was made there in the comparison.
Right.
It's the situation that Mike Tomlin, like you're right, Mike Tomlin was not Mike Tomlin that we know today at 31 or 32 years old. Now, he was at least a coordinator for a year, and he was a coordinator for an offensive-minded coach in Brad Childress. So at least he was running the defense, and he had led meetings, and he had gone to the podium once a week to talk to the media. So at least he did have that year of things. But this was the Steelers. They had just won the Super Bowl. Remember, Bill retired after just winning the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, and Jerome Bettis was out, but they had an ascending young quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger that he had the keys to, and then an organization that was very confident, and the fan base was going to be confident in.
Well, when you talk about Mike Tomlin, you hit it a little bit there. I mean, at the time, he had 10 years experience as a coach, 6 years experience in the NFL as a coach, 1 year of experience as a defensive coordinator, which you highlighted. I didn't put two and two together that he was a defensive coordinator for an offensive-minded head coach, which means that he was the dude that was running the entire defensive side of the football, hiring a staff, you know, managing a staff, hiring, not signing players, but getting players to buy in, getting players in the right position to have success. And he had another level of
experience. He was in the Wade Phillips role. He was in the Lovie Smith role.
That's right.
He was an offensive-minded head coach that was running the defense.
That's right. And then, again, as you mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers football team was in a total different stratosphere as the Texans are in right now, which I think this is very similar to when we talk about, you know, Bill Belichick and his ability to have success. Let's not act like he built that thing. He took over a pretty solid organization in New England when he got the gig, and he had skin in the game. Players had a reason to trust him. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers when Mike Tomlin took over. You just said Hall of Famer Bill Cowher just retired. I believe they won the Super Bowl 2 years before, right? Because I think they were 8-8 the year before, right before.
But I thought he retired. I thought he went off.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. My point is they were a good football team. Your point is, hell, they would have just won a Super Bowl. I'll take either, right? But you look at the roster. Alan Faneca, Hall of Fame offensive lineman. Casey Hampton, pride of Galveston Ball right down here, University of Texas grad, defensive line. Troy Polamalu, Hall of Famer. Hines Ward. Is Hines Ward in the Hall of Fame?
Not yet.
Joey Porter, Ryan Clark, Ike Taylor, James Harrison. They just had Rookie of the Year Santonio Holmes. Ben Roethlisberger was already in the house. I look at that and I go, hey, I love Mike Tomlin, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form minimizing the job that Mike Tomlin has done. What I'm saying is, this is a different monster for an inexperienced coach to take over and somehow be tasked with getting them to the promised land.
No, yes. And I think even with all that you've named as well, the confidence level of the organization too towards its fans and its consumers is a completely different thing, right?
Like, no question.
They could accept them rolling the dice on a Mike Tomlin because, hell, they only had really many of the people there only knew two coaches ahead of them, Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher. That was it. So they've rolled the, they've done well with coaches there, and you can understand that. Okay, we'll listen to the Rooneys. They've made great decisions. And not to mention that, this was a group that was in good hands that drafted well, because then they would go on to draft like Plexico Burress. They would go on to add Mike Wallace. They'd go on to add Antonio Brown. They'd go on to add Emmanuel Sanders. They'd go on to add these players that they had a good thing rolling throughout. That is all completely different here. And that's an uphill battle and task to go with. And Jerod Mayo, it seems like he is, when you hear that, it seems like they're laying the groundwork for him to be the candidate and guy. And you would hope he is the next Mike Tomlin. But he certainly wouldn't be starting off the way that Mike Tomlin started off. And he wouldn't have the resources and the crew that Mike Tomlin started off with.
No question.
So, that's a difficult thing on his behalf.
And I do think it's important to show, and with whoever they hire, whoever the Houston Texans hire, it's important that how they communicate that plan. If you hire Jerod Mayo and your message is, hey, we're going to do everything in our power to give him the runway and the opportunity to have success. It's not going to happen overnight, but we're going to give everything. And we feel like he is an unbelievable leader of men and a diamond in the rough, if you will, from a standpoint of not having the resume most coaching candidates have. Then say it. Put it out there. And we all know what to expect, right? I think the message, whether it's him or it's Flores or it's Josh McDaniels or whoever the hell it may be, the messaging when this particular guy is hired, I think is very, very, very important, and it better exude confidence in that individual if you want the fan base to believe and buy in at all.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Tyler Miller producing this as we're discussing. It seems like by the comparison and the like full-out breakdown he did of Mike Tomlin's upcoming, start to being a head coach with the Steelers, it feels like, boy, that's a tip that, hey, look out for Jerod Mayo. I know when you first heard the name yesterday, we talked about it, you weren't real high on it. And I heard Wade Smith today compare it to potentially hitting a single in terms of it. As you've had some time to look at it, Jerod Mayo, any change on how your feelings would be if he became the guy?
Not one bit. Not one bit. I'd be nervous as hell. I would be willing to, because I'm all about, I would rather you have a very, very high level of confidence from personal experience on the field, in the organization with this guy, and roll the dice than hire a retread, than to hire some safe retread. I would rather that. Now, I want you to get it right. I want you to get it right either way it goes. I would have major concern for Jerod Mayo. Now, I'll trust him, which I don't think a lot of people would. I will trust and give him the benefit of the doubt, and I need to hear what I think they need to hit a grand slam in the press conference if they do hire Jerod Mayo. I think they need to hit a grand slam in the press conference either way it goes after what happened with David Culley over the last year. And what we've seen from Nick Caserio really concerns me. I don't know if he's capable of doing that. But if it is Jerod Mayo and it is a guy with that kind of resume, you got to hit a grand slam at the press conference. He's got to hit a grand slam at the press conference. And then you got to win pretty quickly.
Yeah. The part about this that's underlying is why I'd be very concerned with Jerod Mayo is, one, his inexperience and all of that, which is similar to what they just had. And second, I mean, you'd be tough to believe if you follow the Texans and understand the history and the reports about Jack Easterby and his fandom of Jerod Mayo. He's a fan of Jerod Mayo. He's talked him up. That would rise even more the potential power of what Jack Easterby has in the organization. If Mayo is the guy that's hired, I think that will not help their situation in terms of especially the fan base believing that Jack Easterby is just – in a different role than he was before. I think people would believe there's more. He's gaining more power. Yeah. He's gaining more. And I don't know if that's true or not, but when you hear everything that you've heard about Mayo, even before Caserio got here, between Easterby and his feelings for him, that will jumpstart that some more.
That narrative is going to be spunny the way it goes, because I don't mean that negative towards the spinners of the web, if you will. I mean that because there ain't no way in hell the Texans are going to hire somebody next that Jack Easterby doesn't approve of. I mean, flat out. I mean, it doesn't matter if there's a public tie to a guy like there is with Gerard Mayo, maybe, or not. That there's nobody coming in this building that Jack Easterby doesn't approve of and think highly of as the next head coach. Hell, I would be willing to bet you there's going to be several moves over the next couple of years that are going to be very, very, what the hell was that? But they're going to be linked back to Jack Easterby. Now, we're not going to be able to decipher a lot of that, because a good chunk of them is going to also be able to link back to Nick Caserio. Yeah, yeah. But I think it's fair to say at this point that Jack Easterby still carries a heavy hammer in terms of the decision-making that's going on with the Houston Texans, and I don't think that's going to change.
Because if it was McDaniels and Flores, you feel like you can lean that more. Jack would have some piece of it, but I think you could lean that more toward, hey, that was the plan with Nick. That feels like the plan with Nick. Gerard Mayo, many people would just see, they try to tell us that he's just, that his role is different, but he's right back in the front. His guy is here just like his guy was the GM here. 713-572-4610. We'll let some other people jump in here. Johnny, I'll let you jump in on this. Go ahead. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, if you're going to give Mills a shot, I think you need to give him a few years. And that being said, I like David Shaw in Stanford, who obviously has experience with Mills, to help nurture that. I don't like a rethread coach. I think Shaw, being 10 years head coach at Stanford, can bring some experience and bring some vitality to the offense, and I think would be a great opportunity to bring him in as a coach.
All right, appreciate the call, Johnny. David Shaw, he was somebody, Clint, who was on a lot of NFL, short list, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and then it kind of died down with him a bit, and it seemed like people were just thinking maybe he's just going to stay at Stanford for some time. But the connection with Mills is something that you couldn't ignore there, and Lord knows he has talked up Davis Mills here recently.
Well, look, I think when we're just generally talking about college coaches that have shown interest in the past to want to be in the NFL or want to entertain the NFL, whether that was this year or it was 5 years ago, the truth of the matter is the college football landscape is changing drastically. So if David Shaw was interested 5 years ago and all of a sudden said, no, I'm going to stick at Stanford. I like what we're doing here in Pac-12. I like the direction. I like where college football is at. There's a really good chance that today that changed. Same thing with Jim – not today, but I mean today, not with Culley. I mean the state of college football today could very easily change the minds of guys like David Shaw and guys like Harbaugh and guys that may have had NFL aspirations at one point or another. It wouldn't surprise me if David Shaw didn't have a change of heart. Again, there's several guys that aren't on the radar, on our radar at least. I don't want to speak for you, Show, but that aren't on the radar because they're just not going to – I just don't believe they're going to go that direction. I don't believe it's going to be an open interview process. Yeah. There's going to be some parameters put on who is even entertained here, regardless of what the public knows. I believe that to be the case, and I don't think David Shaw is even on the radar,
whether he wants to be or not. I don't either. Because I put it in my mind like this, Clint. Most GMs don't have a chance to hire a third coach, especially if you fired the first coach in 1 year. So I would imagine the way that Nick Caserio, as my man, talks about, what was his quote today? I'm immune to pressure.
Yes.
He don't give a damn about pressure, which was something with a hell of a quote from him. Like I would think if I'm going down, I'm going down with somebody that I know, that I trust, that I feel great about.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm going down on somebody that you know what? Maybe I don't know him. So I think it's
you ain't never gone down on somebody that.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean,
I couldn't let this slide. I couldn't let this slide. Tyler Perry looked like that. What is that old hedgehog or whatever that comes up at a certain time of the year?
Oh, yeah.
Old groundhog?
Yeah.
Tyler peeked his head up over that microphone like, huh?
What?
I'm not proud of my run 2004 to 2007. But no, I just think it's going to be somebody they know. It's somebody they have confidence with.
To your point, they're – I hear a lot of the, I've heard the question posed multiple times of, you know, most GMs. I heard Sean Pendergast talking about it a couple of days ago. Most GMs don't get a third hire. Man, after hearing Nick Caserio today and like kind of outline where the McNair's head is in this,
yeah, you're right.
I wouldn't be shocked at all. Now, I hope he hires one more and doesn't have the need to hire another one. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if whatever Nick and the Texans do here in a couple of years doesn't work out and a big fish pops and he goes out. I wouldn't be shocked at all, given what I heard today, that Nick Caserio would be given the opportunity to hire a third.
Yeah, nothing's off the table. You're right there. Nothing's off the table, and I don't know. I mean, maybe they do just sit here and just let him kind of run things the way he wants to run it.
Well, they made it out to be like the McNairs understand that this is building not a winning football team. This is going to take longer to build something that is Pittsburgh Steelers-ish.
Yeah, they're a young franchise. It's only been 20 years around, and I'm going to leave them with something that's bigger than.
I walked away with the impression that it's going to be pretty difficult for Nick Caserio not to get several years in and several swings at getting this thing right.
Well, he operates like he's got an unlimited amount of swings. Like he operates like he could just, you know what? At 1 year out, I'll change things up. All right, the numbers are out. There are a lot of numbers about what David Culley is owed. The numbers are out now, and this has to mean something. This has to mean something when you hear exactly what Culley is owed. We'll discuss that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.